This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Cheryl, we have to blaze through this intro fast. Yes. Because I have an appointment across town, but it's a good episode.
It is good. We listen.
We learned one thing.
We learned one thing and one real thing.
It was a real thing that we learned. So.
But by the way, I guessed it. I'm so smart that I guessed it properly.
Let's get into the episode.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to Holy Hell.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling
faintly. I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Cheryl, we're doing it again.
Hey, Tig, hey.
Hey, Cheryl, hey.
We're doing it again.
Oh, yeah, we're doing it again.
Are doing.
We can't stop now.
Mm-mm, not after Tony Hawk.
And, you know, our listeners, they may or may not be surprised to hear this, but our numbers are going up exponentially. Do you find that amusing?
It's pretty amusing.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I love our listeners and I love the reviews that they send in. Mm-hmm. You know, and they give 5 stars and they're like, I've learned nothing. Mm-hmm. I actually feel like I have forgotten things listening.
I'm dumber for it.
but they keep listening, so I am so grateful.
And they're clearly telling their friends because our numbers are
going up. They're like, if you want to hear something about nothing, tune in. Mm-hmm. No, actually, it's not about nothing. We cover some ground.
Yeah.
It's just usually.
Well, don't spoil it. Let people, you're just tuning in for the first time,
get ready because you're going to learn a lot about our documentary today.
But probably more about nothing.
The 80s or something. Mm-hmm.
How does my hair look today?
The usual, if not crazier. It seems like you have a new cowlick. Is that possible?
I don't know.
Aren't you born with cowlicks? Did you sleep on your forehead last night?
Well, I flew in very late last night. Mm. Took a shower, went to bed with wet hair, and,
Whoa. Okay.
You know.
I need to get my hands in that hair.
No. Actually, yes, I would love, could I get a trim?
Do I need to come over there and
that
give you?
That would be amazing. Could you be my new hairstylist?
You have to come to me. I'm not driving over
I
there.
I am happy to go to you, but if I did, would you cut my hair?
Of course again? I would. Of course
okay.
I would.
Oh my God. I would love if that is just a new chapter to our friendship as you are now my hairstylist. If people are like, who cut your hair? And I'm like, well, have you seen Curb Your Enthusiasm? Actually, not just Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I have to tell you, I was on a flight, as I told you, last night. I was just flying through the air.
Yeah.
Minding my own beeswax. And the person in front of me is watching.
Oh, flight attendant?
Yeah, that's my friend Cheryl on the screen in front of me on a flight. So I can now say, yeah, I've seen the flight attendant. Yeah.
You know what? I was just on a flight and the flight attendant said, I just watched you on Flight Attendant. It's like, whoa, this is meta. It's very meta. Tig, should we just get right into?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Today we are talking about the documentary Holy Hell.
Yeah. I had never heard of it.
Me either, but I cannot wait to talk to you about this. Holy Hell is a 2016 documentary film directed by Will Allen. Using footage that Allen shot over the 22 years that he was a member of the Buddhafield cult, it paints a disturbing picture of the group and its charismatic leader known as Michelle. Holy Hell premiered at Sundance and is available to watch.
Charismatic.
They are using that term very loosely.
Yeah.
It's available to watch on Amazon Prime. There are so many.
Holy hell.
Oh. Okay, so listen. We're not spilling any beans by saying this is about a cult.
Wasn't that already in the intro that you just read?
Oh, did it just say that? Yeah.
I wasn't listening.
No, you're right.
You did.
I just said it. God. Well, the thing is about these cults.
Yeah.
It seems like, and tell me what you think, is there anybody who's ever, when they're in it, saying, yeah, I'm in a cult? It seems like they say, oh no, it's not a cult, it's a movement.
I feel like if I was in a book club and we were meeting regularly and all growing beards, I would start to question, is this a cult? But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But what's really interesting is it seems like cults, I mean, it starts with an appealing
situation.
Yeah. It's like jumping in the water.
They're all running
swimming
through the forest and they...
In
they
Speedos.
Just want to love each other, and they just
that
wanna...
would be my first tip off that something was weird. If I showed up, this is my gut reaction.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't have shown up to something where we were in search of God or something, but
right. If
it was like just goodness and kindness and fun and great people, I would be. Oh, I'm going to show up. That sounds. I'm interested.
Yeah.
But if our leader or the person that is getting us all together is wearing a Speedo.
At all times.
I would feel like.
Hey, Tig. You put yourself aside and say.
Hey, Tig.
I need to have a talk with myself.
Your leader is in a Speedo. That would be my first thing. Because I would even say it's weirder to be a leader in a Speedo than to be a naked leader.
Right. A naked leader sounds...
less bizarre.
Yes. It sounds justifiable. It's like, look, this is how I was born.
Yes. It's natural. But when you put a Speedo on your leader...
then it's like, I'm going to just cover my junk. Only this part of me.
Something weird is on the horizon.
Yeah. But of course you couldn't help think about, what's his name from that other one?
Of course. And the other ones. And the other one. It's the same story over and over
it's
where these
usually like people, a white, like a...
It's always white.
It's a white guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like a lot of white people in search of... belonging.
Yeah. Listen, it's a tough world out there and people want to belong. And as much as I am not, I run very quickly if there's a neediness or a need to I need something but I also understand we're in a gigantic planet.
Yeah.
Outer space goes on forever, correct?
Yes.
It's a big world.
Yes,
right?
Universe.
So when you find someone you connect with, you want to hold
fantastic.
On.
Yes.
Or if you haven't found people to connect with, you want to find them.
Search for them.
Yeah.
So sometimes these cults, from our experience, they start out with people having good intentions and just wanting to be better people, find love and find acceptance. And it starts out that way. And you think, this is fantastic. I hope the next 2 hours goes on and on just like this.
I mean, I was like, I'm all in. What is this place? This sounds fun.
I mean, the Speedo. That is a
Say no more. The movie should have been called The Speedo.
Because what's his name with that played volleyball with his knee pads and his...
Michael? Keith Raniere.
Keith Raniere. From Nexium. Oh, God. Remember that one?
Whether it's volleyball or ballet.
Oh, yeah. So this guy... We haven't even told you.
And no offense to people that wear Speedos, but it is just not the appropriate outfit to lead people into... Nirvana.
We'd prefer you be nude.
Yes.
If you're going to do it, don't.
And I'm not asking that you be nude. I would say, you know, throw on a robe or something.
Yes.
But even robes get a little creepy because then those are the kind of outfits where somebody goes, and he was wearing a robe. Whoa. You know what I mean? So naked and robe and Speedo.
No,
I feel like.
No, but a robe, that's what you would think.
On.
No, you would think a robe like, oh, this guy has so much self-assurance. He doesn't need pants. He can walk around in a robe and feel fantastic. That's the guy that's like, okay, I'm listening.
I've had plenty of men listen with pants on.
Okay, so this guy, Will, he was always fascinated with life and death. He was raised as a Catholic. He started making movies when he was a kid. Oh, so this is Will the filmmaker.
Yes.
That we're talking about.
And his voice sounds so much like Ira Glass.
Oh, you know what? It's funny that you say that because while I was watching this film, for whatever reason, at some point, I would be watching these people and I would feel like, oh, I know that person. Oh, I think I've met them at a party. I felt like I knew every...
Well, do you hang out in Austin?
No.
Because it seems like...
Yeah, that's the... So he started making movies as a kid and he felt lost after finishing film school. He moved back home and his mom kicked him out for being gay. This is the filmmaker.
Right. And this has nothing to do with anything about this documentary. I just heard footsteps outside my office.
Yeah.
And I started to get a little like, oh no, what if Max or Finn walk in and interrupt the podcast?
Yeah.
And I just realized they don't do that anymore.
Aww.
They're so old and mature that they wouldn't just walk in and stare at me while I'm recording a podcast and be like, when are you going to come down? When are you going to be finished?
Oh, they get it.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Anyway, it just hit me where I was like, they don't do that anymore. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Anyway.
In 1985, a group of young people desperate to escape the yuppie culture of the 80s banded together in search of spirituality and found family. They called themselves the Buddha Field. Mm-hmm. They yearned for more from life. And were led by, quote unquote, the teacher, also known as Michelle.
/ Speedo. The Speedo.
The Buddha Field members describe Michelle as soft, still, and beautiful. This is where I, at the end of the film, I almost wanted to start over. Because I don't.
What do you mean? In life?
I just wanted to start over in life. No, I don't understand how they start these cults. What is that first conversation of just a weird guy in a Speedo saying, hey, hey, guys.
Meet me in the woods.
Meet me in the woods. I know some things about some things.
I can introduce you to God.
I would say no, thank you.
Hey,
you know,
quit looking at my Speedo. Just meet me in the woods. I can introduce you to God.
How does it start?
Well, now, Cheryl, I mean, you have to be, not you specifically, but aren't most people looking for more out of life and the answer, what is life? And when this movie started out, how were you feeling when Will was describing what he was searching for? Because I was really like, oh, I was energized. I was like, yeah, what is life?
Right.
What are we doing?
Right.
Where do we go? What do we, who do we talk to? What do,
yeah.
I want to know. I want to feel more. I want to dig
feel
deeper.
Feel free.
Yeah.
Feel free to sing with a group of people in a field, even though you're not a good singer.
I don't want to do that. Oh. But I mean, what are you searching for? Do you feel that way? Or do you feel on autopilot? You're going through life. You're doing your job.
I feel like I'm gently searching. Mm-hmm. So I think all the answers for me come from the universe around me. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I need to go on a journey to find somebody to lead me to those answers. Mm-hmm. So that's just me. But I do think that one should be mindful and thoughtful and be open to looking and receiving mm-hmm. signs and answers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Is that what you think? Or what do you think? Are you searching?
I mean, I think I'm always, I guess, gently searching is a good way of putting it. But I have moments where I'm like,
I need some friggin' answers.
I gotta get into something somewhere with some people. I gotta feel something else, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I gotta do something else. Something else has to...
Yes.
I mean, what's going on?
I need a change.
Yeah.
And I've been through times where I'm like, I don't care what happens next, but it cannot be the same thing that I did today because mm-hmm. I need a huge change.
I guess I'm just saying I really connect with the searching, so I understand the vulnerability that people experience.
Yeah.
Because if somebody is speaking the right language for you.
Right.
And promises something or possibility of something. You know, I know for myself with the vulnerability I've had with health and my body and mm-hmm. and food and all of that stuff, I would follow a Speedo into the woods. But we'll be right back. We will be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back.
Okay, we are back. Here we go. So this guy, Michelle, mm-hmm. which is interesting because he has a very odd accent. Did you find mm-hmm.
it's well, it
Indian?
It felt somewhere between French and Indian mm-hmm. at different times. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was just reading French because of Michelle.
Mm, yes.
You know?
I think it was a mix of a lot of things mm-hmm. That will be revealed later. Don't do anything. Say anything. Okay. So the members of the Buddha Field lived together. They fed one another. They worked out together. They all pitched in financially. And then Will became the Buddha Field's filmographer.
Look, and if you are in a pile of people that are like-minded, helping out, you're nurturing each other.
You're taking turns making dinner.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's nice. It sounds appealing.
Yes. So these guys were so happy. And mm-hmm. it was a little odd that they were all very attractive. Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
Yeah.
But one of the things that Michelle would teach them is that they were not supposed to have sex mm-hmm. with anyone. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't remember why. Why did he say they weren't allowed to have? It was like a.
It was just
a distraction. Like
yeah.
And you're better than that, basically. Uh-huh. And they obsessed over Michelle. Oh, and then there was one guy, Julian, who really wanted to serve Michelle, and he said, "What can I do for you?"
And, oh, yeah.
And Michelle said, "The thing that you can do for me is to make a fruit salad for me every morning." Mm-hmm. And Julian was thrilled. And they showed pictures of his fruit salads.
They were quite intricate.
They were beautiful. Mm-hmm. He did the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. Fruit salad. He would do animals.
It was art.
It was art. And then he said that one day he saw somebody. It's not funny. I'm being mm-hmm. immature, but it's not yeah. funny. Slide the fruit salad into a blender. I mean, imagine. you spend 2 hours on mm-hmm. the Last Supper as a fruit salad, and then you see it, you know, going into a blender.
And I think we all know I'm not a religious person, but that I could tell looked like the Last Supper.
Oh, I mean,
what he
was a very gifted mm-hmm. fruit salad maker. Mm-hmm. And so the whole community would just swirl around Michelle. What can we do for him? What can we do? And they would do everything for him. And Michelle yeah. was
bastard.
I was going to say ballerina.
Oh.
But is it proper to call a male ballerina? A ballerina.
What?
I'm not going to say ballerino because I'm not going to sound stupid.
Okay.
What do you call a male? Ballerina sounds like it's a feminine word, no?
Well, let's be honest. There are a lot of feminine men doing ballet.
I guess there's no way to know. Maybe Thomas can look it up for us. Oh, a danseur. I think he just made that up. But ballerino, is also correct. Oh, my God. For once, I was right. He was a ballerino.
But again, picture calling Michelle a ballerina and him caring.
Oh, no, he wouldn't. I actually think he probably would not like being called a ballerino.
Right.
I've never heard anyone.
My mother was a ballerina.
Yes.
I've never heard the word ballerino, but it wasn't a world of hers that I was neck deep in.
Right. But know? She never said.
I was a ballerina when I was four.
You were?
When I was four.
And you never heard your mother say, "I've got to go to rehearsal. The other ballerino is already there."
Well, if she were to say the other ballerino is already there, then that's implying that she's a ballerino.
But I have to go because the ballerino is
there. There is a ballerino there. No. Never came up.
You know what? I feel like we all learned something today for once.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we could end it right here.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Are you saying forever for the whole show? What if we did end that abruptly? We just because signed we off and never, right. We got one thing right and we never recorded a show again.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So the thing is, in this documentary, the people that are in the documentary, and I have to give them a lot of credit because these people were in this cult and now they are in this documentary, and that takes a lot of courage.
They didn't know they were in a cult when they were in a cult.
No. But some of them would say we used to laugh and think, "Oh, if this is a cult, you know, who cares because we're having so much fun."
Yeah.
Not those words. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, nobody would ever quote you on anything, I don't think.
But they all would say that this guy, Michelle, could like hypnotize them, put them in sort of a trance, and make them feel euphoric.
Yeah.
He would do, you know, he would like lay his hands on their heads and they would fall over and it seemed like across the board, they all agreed mm-hmm. that they all experienced that.
Yeah. And so do you think there is something there with energy or...
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about that spirits? Too. I was thinking yeah. about that. Well, I don't know if it's that if one person is mm-hmm. paying so much attention to another person, right? Yeah. And they all were. So they're all gathered yeah. around one person.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of positive energy that one person is receiving. It must feel like love and probably euphoric because all of these people are wanting the very best for you. And right. I mean, I imagine you feel something. What do you think?
You must. I don't know. I was thinking about, you know, there's a lot of intense eye contact.
That Michelle does? Or yeah. that he does to the camera?
Well, I saw him doing it.
To people?
With people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Or maybe it reminded me of people like that, just the staring, you know, and...
Do you like that staring?
Do I?
Yeah. Do you like it when somebody's like looking into your soul?
If it's my wife, but...
But if it's a guy in a Speedo?
I'd rather, yeah, somebody in a Speedo glance away from time to time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would imagine that there's some sort of transference of...
energy.
Even if it's from your own... You feel something. It's intense. I'm sure there's intensity there.
Yeah. I was at a baby shower once. Doesn't matter where it was. But they had a psychic in a little tent on the front yard. Mm. In the front yard. And one by one, you would go in and you would sit down with the psychic. And I would think.
Sounds very Hollywood, by the way.
But I would think, how could this person possibly... you know anything. But then when I really took a step back and started thinking about it, I mean, I'm sure every person that comes into that tent comes in with, you know, some sort of energy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure if somebody's walking in there and they're hoping to find love or they're going through a breakup or they don't have a job or they're hope, you can probably read it when they come in, don't you think? I feel like I would be a pretty good psychic. I think if I had a tent at a party in a front yard and you okay. lined everybody up and one by one.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Oh my gosh. Oh let's my gosh. Throw this party. And you're the psychic.
Yes.
We'll invite five of our own friends.
Okay.
And they'll each go in to the tent and see what you say.
It can't be five of our, it has to be people I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, you invite five people that I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to soak in their energy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, here's what I'm getting from you. Mm-hmm. You want more out of life. You want a love that you never question. You want
more money.
You want more money. You want to be recognized for your hard work. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if I said that to every person, they would walk out of there going, she knows what she's talking about.
I paid her double. Did I tell you I went on one of those psychic TV shows?
What? What do you mean?
We have to go on a break and we will be right back to find out what happened when I saw a psychic.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And we are back on Tig and Cheryl talking about holy hell sometimes. Okay. I went on one of those TV shows and talked to a psychic.
Yes.
And I went in with every bit of my being open to it.
Okay.
Stephanie is into psychics.
Yeah.
And I just thought this will be great, and I can't wait to
receive, you know, something.
Yes. Everything
Uh-oh.
That the psychic said
yes.
was incorrect.
Oh.
Everything. And the episode never aired.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm certain that they were just like, what are we going to do with this?
And what were you saying? Was this person saying something like, I'm seeing...
It was something where I was like, how will my health be? And the response was, good, you're very strong and healthy. And I was like, okay, great. And so there's nothing... I can't remember what was said, but it was implied that there was never any health issues in my life. And then didn't know that my parents were dead. Didn't pick up on that. I was like, what about my parents? And it was just, everything was so off that it was so uncomfortable.
And would you say, that's not right?
I would say, well, my parents are dead. And then the response was, well, there, you remember their old dynamic of how your mother would be, you know, griping about this and your dad. And I was like, well, they split up when I was 6 months old. So, that's not their personality. Like my mother, there was nothing about the dynamic that was being described that they were watching over me and like going back and forth with their...
There are those crazy old dynamics from when
you
were
six
months old. That's so weird. Do you think that person was just having an off day?
I don't know, but I was so bummed because I really went in very interested and excited to, you know.
And then you were like, yeah, fuck it.
But it proved that she didn't Google me.
That is the good news.
Yeah.
She did not Google you.
No.
There was no way for...
And she should have.
This is the one time she should have known.
There was no way for her to know.
But there was.
Yeah.
Okay, so Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
He would say that he can get these people that he selected to see God, the knowing, the day of the knowing.
Yeah.
So the people that were chosen were thrilled beyond belief. And they all said, yes, I was euphoric. I had this, you know, I really felt it. And then he started encouraging people to detach from their families. Also, he would charge $50 a week for therapy.
By the way, that's pretty cheap. I was truly, I mean, I know there was so much horrific stuff going on, but I was also like, whoa,
wow,
$50 therapy.
Can I get in?
I mean,
what if you walked in and your therapist was sitting in a Speedo and shoes and socks?
Uh-huh.
Would you be like, okay, well, listen, it all started in my childhood. Or would you say, you know what, can you cover yourself?
It all
started
here in this cult. I was fine until I got here. I can't believe I'm paying you.
Neither here nor there. So at some point in, they were all, this was happening in California. This was happening in West Hollywood. And at some point, a group found out about this Buddha field. And there was a guy, I guess, who was very interested in one of the beautiful women that was in the cult. But she would not see that guy because he was not in the cult. So he called cult whistleblower, and they started investigating. And so Michelle left with a few core guys. He changed his name to Andreas, and he relocated to Austin. And then everybody came to Austin. And then they built a theater for him. And once it was finished, Andreas would choreograph ballets. They would spend all year rehearsing.
Very similar to volleyball.
Yes, because who do you think had the best part in the ballet? This was not a time for other people in the cult to shine.
And by the way, the reason I'm saying very similar to volleyball, it's not because I'm insane. It's because of the other documentary we watched, The Vow.
Oh, The Vow. Keith with the headband, with the sweat headband.
It's all bad fashion.
It is. It is.
Headband, Speedo. Is it the 80s? If somebody's dressed like the 80s.
And it's not the 80s. That's a red flag. It's a yellow flag at the very least. It's like, whoa, slow down. Just take a one step back and take a look. Yeah, he became obsessed with his appearance and plastic surgery. So he started having plastic surgery. And then he would ask other people in the cult, will you do it first so I can see how it looks? And then I'll do it.
Did he say it that blatantly, or did he just have somebody do it first, and then he was like, oh, okay. I like how their cheekbones look.
I mean, my understanding from watching this, and I did not fall asleep during it, was that he would like, you know, that somebody was the, you know,
guinea pig,
if you will.
Even if you won't.
Even if you won't. Those who dared to criticize Andreas were told to, quote unquote, drop your mind. And Andreas would tell women, oh, this is so awful. Andreas would tell women in the Buddha Field community to get abortions or they would be kicked out. No babies were ever born in this compound. And they were all together. This was like 26 years or something going on.
A quarter of a century this went on.
That you're just...
And as years go by, people look... less and less attractive in Speedos, by the way.
Well, the Speedos and the plastic surgery and the eyeliner, it gets to be a lot where he's
The personality.
The personality. Look, I could get past all of the, everything you just named. I would be like, great, bring it. Speedo, plastic surgery,
it's crazy.
Eyeliner. But then...
A bad personality.
Yeah, bad personality. You know, he's working, he works out and then he makes eye contact with a bird and everybody just stands around watching him making eye contact with a bird.
See, I told you, heavy eye contact in this movie.
Yes.
But, you know, personality goes a long way, all right? But I don't know...
What his personality was.
I don't know what was... I guess it's just on a spiritual level because the Speedo and the personality didn't do it for me.
Mm-mm. Yeah, same. So years go by. Okay. So now it's like 20 years later or something. One of the eldest members sent out an email to everyone in the Buddha Field accusing Andreas of many horrible things, and the thread began to unravel. And the most disturbing allegations involved Andreas coercing young males into unwanted sexual relationships. Andreas would manipulate the young men during his therapy sessions, and many male members of the Buddha Field started sharing their stories of abuse.
I mean, this is exactly like the Vow.
I know. You know what I was thinking of?
Cheryl.
There's no way to know. What was the other cult one with the woman that got skinny for God?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what was that one called? Not Skinny for God.
The Way Down.
The Way Down. I mean, did that also involve sex? I mean, she did end up like getting down with a younger guy, but it wasn't like it wasn't like these guys.
But
yeah,
it wasn't what anybody claims to stand for to begin with.
What do you mean?
Just... goodness and
so clearly he's manipulating people. The other guys,
I'm saying The Way Down, the religious woman, like, you know, you go into a world that you're hoping is goodness. And
right.
You're joining a community that is positive.
Right.
And that you'll see a change in your life and the world around you, and you'll
right.
get answers to questions. But instead, people die or get raped, or they, you know, and obviously it's not every time, but I mean, you know.
Well, right. It's about manipulation. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one person is manipulating people. And now these guys are all starting to realize, oh, I thought he was just doing it with me. Mm-hmm. Now they know he was doing it with a lot of them. And mm-hmm. Andreas, oh, this was so awful too, that he told one of the women mm-hmm. to tell everyone that she had cancer.
Yeah. So he could act like he healed it.
Yeah. I mean,
I did appreciate her honesty in the beginning, how she was just, she admitted, she was like, I was willing to do whatever and lie and say, I mean, people were so vulnerable in this documentary. It was,
I know,
incredible.
I was thinking the same thing. And I think it's so important that they did this documentary and that they, and that they were so candid and and like you're saying, vulnerable, because that that's hard.
Yeah,
I mean, it's hard to admit that you were manipulated, much less sexually assaulted.
Abused.
Or it's just so awful. And at some point, Andrea said to Will, the filmmaker, I would like to make a video and tell my side,
okay,
because all these stories are coming out. Mm-hmm. And in the video, he said he would not apologize. And people were
great stance, buddy.
People were a little confused. And people started walking out on him.
Yeah.
And there was also a little bit of rumor that he might have been in porn films, but also that he was an actor and he was in the film Rosemary's Baby. And in the documentary, we do get to see his role in Rosemary.
His head turn.
I mean, some people might describe it as an extra or atmosphere. Yeah.
If not accidentally in the scene.
He was probably just crossing the room.
Maybe not extra, excess. That's what his scene was, excess.
But now, this is when I was like, you guys, okay, this is the moment in the documentary where I was a little angry.
Yeah.
Because it feels like they're rising up. The group is saying, no more. We see you for who you are. This is bullshit. We are not going to take this. You are a bad person.
What a powerful speech, Cheryl.
Thank you. And then, you know what they did? You know what they did to him, to Andreas? A few of them got on a plane and took him to Hawaii. And said,
not much of punishment.
And said, don't you dare do that again.
Yeah.
And left. I was like, am I missing something?
This guy's clearly not going to become a barista at Starbucks and like earn an honest living, you know?
Why do they think that's the worst punishment they could? That's how nice
these
people.
That's the place where cults are born.
And in niceness.
In beauty.
Yes.
Yes, that's where people are wearing Speedos. Hawaii. There's beautiful outdoors. Yes. Hawaii.
So they take him to Hawaii what else to tell
Wish
you?
Somebody would drop me off in Hawaii.
Just be like, Tig, we've had enough.
Actually, I do have a show in Honolulu coming
up. Oh, what if you just stayed?
Hey, are you being rude?
No, I'm being helpful. Like, what if you went to
Hawaii? I have a family.
Well, they could come too.
Oh, okay.
It's like, what if you went and you were like, I only want to wear a Speedo and I'm going to stay in Hawaii.
Okay.
So now it's years later. The Buddha Field was basically destroyed. All the members sort of disbanded. And then at the end of the film, you see like an undercover film making.
And I have to say, I'm glad they did this, but it wasn't the confrontation was very soft. It was. He took his sunglasses off and said, "Are you being a good boy?"
Yeah. So 5 years later, I guess that this is the filmmaker that went.
Will.
Found Andreas on the beach in his Speedo, surrounded by new cult members.
Right.
I was watching it going, I cannot wait.
Right.
I can't wait. But this guy, to give it to him and then to see the FBI move on him. You know, like everybody comes out like you're under arrest, you haven't paid taxes.
I know. We all know how that
scene goes.
For the last
30 years of your life, you owe, and we have charges filed against you for all.
We get it.
I wanted to see it. That's what I was expecting. And like you said, he takes his sunglasses off and he says, "Hey, are you being a good boy or a bad boy?" And Andreas is like, kind of a bad boy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. Yeah. And then credits roll.
What would you have done if you walked up and you busted this guy?
Well, I would at the very least say, can I have everyone's attention? This man is a liar.
Would you have a Speedo on?
Well, I would have to
You're on the beach.
I would have to have a Speedo on to get people's attention and to blend in. Okay. Otherwise, you would never make it up to the group. You know what I mean? Okay. You have to blend in. And then I would say, this man is a liar.
He's a porn star?
He was in porn. And in this documentary, you got to see bits of the porn, which I thought was gratifying. That's not the right word.
Wait, gratifying in what way?
Well, that you... that you did get to see his porn without having to search it online, because I don't want to search for his porn online.
Oh, I thought you were saying gratifying, like you thought it was
good porn. I jerked off to it. Wait, do women jerk off?
Cheryl, I don't know what you do.
Okay, doesn't matter.
You would say this guy is...
Is a liar.
Also, why are people called porn stars if they just do porn? Why are you immediately a star? You know what I mean?
Well, what do you think it should just be porn actress or actor?
I think so. Or porn ballerino. A porn ballerino. I just find it so interesting that you can be in TV and film for decades and not be a movie star.
No one had ever called you a TV star. No, they don't call you a star.
But if the first time you have sex on camera,
you're a porn
a porn, you're a star.
I'm pretty sure they label themselves, among other things, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I would be like, this guy's a rapist.
Yes.
He is a rapist.
Yes.
He's a rapist. He's a dangerous person.
But that didn't even happen. So it was like, what? Why did he even search him out?
I think that it's probably very scary and intimidating to face your abuser.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Probably when you are in the face of your abuser, whatever degree of abuse that is, it might be hard for some people to actually do what they maybe have imagined.
Right.
Because that old pattern and control is right there in your face.
That power structure that was set up for so long. And
Yeah.
Well, right. That's why you need the people in the bushes coming out.
And that cult in Hawaii, Thomas thinks is still going on.
Yes.
Yeah. But what does Thomas know? Right?
If you know a guy, I think he changed his name again. Didn't he change his name again?
Thomas? I wish Thomas would change his name. What if Thomas was on the run? Isn't he the least likely? And he already has a mustache.
He already has a mustache.
Yeah.
What if Thomas is a ballerino?
Uh-huh.
And we didn't know it until this moment in
time. But what would you think if I was like, Thomas disappeared? I think he's on the run.
He's on the lamb. Lamb.
Yeah. He's on the lamb. He put on 50 pounds and he's living in a swamp.
We are not going to go down that road about how to go on the lamb. It is not that you gain weight. That it's...
All right.
Okay. Tigger, are you ready for our final thoughts?
I am.
Okay. It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
But I felt for people.
I did,
deeply.
Too. I know. Mm-hmm. Who were you attracted to? Who weren't you attracted to?
I would say, you know, out of the gate, I was attracted to Will. Mm. I just liked his personality and his voice. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I love this guy. Mm-hmm. But then I saw...
David?
I can't remember the girl's name that was the one that one guy was developing feelings for. What is her name?
Sophia or...
Yeah, I was like, I'd probably run off with Sophia.
Uh-huh. I liked David.
Which one was he?
David. He had dark hair. He's an actor.
Yes.
So he's very handsome, and I liked his vibe.
Okay.
That's all for this week's episode. Next week we'll be talking about Navalny.
No way to know. Which I guess we'll find out when we hear.
Which you can watch on HBO Max. Navalny. Tig, are you ready for some true fan mail?
Yes, please.
Okay, this is from Kirby K. Hey, Kirby K. Hey.
Hey, oh.
Oh, come on.
Well, I heard Curb, and I was thinking of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, Kirby.
Hey, Kirby, your enthusiasm. Hey, Kirby, your enthusiasm.
By the way, this was a comment left in our Facebook fan group.
Wow. Yeah. They do the deep dive search comments.
Snorkbulls, I lost it last night and made a fool of myself. Just as I was walking to the Ace Hotel Theater from the parking lot, Tig and Stephanie pulled up right in front of me. I started gesticulating wildly at my homemade Hey, Kirby, Hey, sure. From behind the windshield, I could see them read and acknowledge it and smile. But I couldn't let it lie because they hadn't seen the back where it says Snorkbulls. So I tapped on the window. I tapped on the window and showed them. They must have thought I had lost my mind. And in a way, I had. Uh-huh. That was the first time I had been to an event like that since lockdown. And my adrenaline got the best of me. Oh, and then I ran into... Kristen Bell, also parking, and she was lovely and so sweet, and Tig killed it. Oh, what a night. Oh, is this the person that you were talking about?
Yeah, I remember this. Stephanie and I were stuck. I could see this Snorkbull was in her world where she was excited about her shirt.
Yeah.
But I was blocked in the parking lot behind me and in front of me and on the side of me, and nobody was moving, and I needed to park my car to get into the show. And this woman was banging on our windows and putting her shirt up against the windows and like yelling, Snorkbull! I'm Snorkbull! And I was like, I was trying to process everything that was going on. And Kristen Bell and Rufus Wainwright, after we parked, we were in the alleyway with them, and there were, I don't know if it was that person or some other Snorkbulls that didn't even process. And this is me, you know, braggadocious alert, that didn't even process that Kristen Bell was standing next to me and Rufus Wainwright. They were so excited. They were such a Snorkbull
nerds.
And when we walked off, Stephanie was like, did they not... See that Rufus Wainwright and Kristen Bell were standing here? They were excited to see you. So,
oh, and by the way, that night, Kristen Wiig, like when I got there, I went right to the front of the line, and somebody I know said, Kristen Wiig is standing out there in line. I was like, why is she standing in line? No,
hilarious.
That's what somebody told me.
Well, good. Make her wait.
Yeah, she can wait. She can
wait. But it was a fun night.
Oh my God, it was a great night. Oh, we love our Snorkbulls. Okay, Tig, is there anything that you would like to promote?
My album, Drawn, is available. Mm-hmm. And I still have tour dates at tignotaro.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the road goes on forever.
Okay.
Oh, and Don't Ask Tig, my other podcast. Cheryl, do you have anything?
I can be seen on HBO and HBO Max on Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Flight Attendant.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sesson. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at TigandCherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.